Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 26th of August, 2013, the podcast that doesn't want to live on this planet anymore. This is your host, Shane Killian. Let's depopulate the news of the bogus. And the big news this week is the sentencing in the Bradley Manning case. Or should I say, Chelsea Manning. Yes, this brave young American hero has decided he's a she and is starting hormone treatments to become a woman. What does this have to do with the case? Absolutely nothing. But you'd never believe that from listening to the major news media. Any old excuse for a distraction from what our government's doing to us, I guess. Anyway, as we reported last week, Manning could have been sentenced to up to 90 years in prison. Or he could have been sentenced to as little as 3.5 years and gotten out on time served. What actually happened was that Judge Denise Lind sentenced him to 35 years. If he serves the full sentence, he'll be 59 when he gets out of prison. But he could be eligible for parole in 12 years. Still, it's like she stopped just short of giving him a life sentence. Manning's sentence comes out to 420 months. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, the average sentence for homicide is 149 months, 117 for rape, and 104 for kidnapping. If Manning had committed all three of these violent and heinous crimes and served the average sentences for them consecutively, he would have served 370 months, far short of the 420 months he received. And when you consider that the prosecution's own expert admitted that not one single person could be shown to have been harmed by Manning's actions, this sentence is beyond egregious. Stephen Bucci, director of the Heritage Foundation's Douglas and Sarah Allison Center for Foreign Policy Studies, shamefully excused the verdict. Quote, "The message won't be lost for everyone in the military. When you sign a security clearance and swear oaths, you actually have to abide by that. It is not optional." Okay, but worse than homicide, rape, and kidnapping combined? For that matter, is it worse than the atrocities that came to light because of his actions? Where is this lengthy sentence for those in the military who conducted the torture and other war crimes he exposed? The ACLU was quick to condemn the sentence. According to Ben Wisner, director of their Privacy and Technology Project, quote, "When a soldier who shared information with the press and public is punished far more harshly than others who tortured prisoners and killed civilians, something is seriously wrong with our justice system. This is a sad day for Bradley Manning, but it's also a sad day for all Americans who depend on brave whistleblowers and a free press for a fully informed public debate." Reporters Without Borders also condemned the sentence. Quote, "Following the targeting of Edward Snowden, the disproportionate sentence for Manning hits hard at whistleblowers and shows how vulnerable they are. The Army is sending a clear message to them and all journalists who dare to report whistleblowers' disclosures. The United States will strike back severely at anyone who uncovers information of public interest concerning the exercise of official powers." The organization had previously accused the judge of presiding over an unfair trial, most of which was behind closed doors. Statists keep excusing their government by saying it's a government of we the people. But is it? How are we supposed to hold our government accountable if we're not even allowed to get the information about what it's doing, and when those who do bring it to light get harsher sentences than murderers, rapists, and kidnappers combined? Wake up, America! Meanwhile, Lynn Greenwald, the reporter for The Guardian who helped whistleblower Edward Snowden bring the NSA's heinous spying on American citizens to light, is facing persecution of his own. His partner, David Miranda, was detained and questioned by British authorities under Schedule 7 of the Terrorism Act of 2000 on a London layover on his way back home to Brazil from Berlin. He was not allowed to have an attorney present. He was held for 9 hours, which is the maximum amount the law allows before they have to formally arrest him. Most Schedule 7 detainments are less than an hour long, and only one in 2,000 last over 6 hours. Miranda was released, but only after they confiscated his electronic equipment, which included his phone, laptop, camera, memory sticks, and even DVDs and game consoles. And they didn't say anything at all about whether these items would be returned. Of the detainment, Greenwald said, quote, "This is a profound attack on press freedoms and the news-gathering process. To detain my partner for a full 9 hours while denying him a lawyer and then seize large amounts of his possessions is clearly intended to send a message of intimidation to those of us who have been reporting on the NSA and GCHQ. The actions of the UK pose a serious threat to journalists everywhere." He also said, quote, "If the UK and US governments believe that tactics like this are going to deter or intimidate us in any way from continuing to report aggressively on what these documents reveal, they are beyond deluded. If anything, it will have only the opposite effect, to embolden us even further. Beyond that, every time the US and UK governments show their true character to the world, when they prevent the Bolivian president's plane from flying safely home, when they threaten journalists with prosecution, when they engage in behavior like what they did today, all they do is helpfully underscore why it's so dangerous to allow them to exercise vast, unchecked spying power in the dark." Good for you, Greenwald. In the past, Schedule 7 has been attacked for giving police broad power supposedly to combat terrorism. It allows the police to detain and search individuals without a warrant, or even having to show reasonable suspicion, and when you have a law as bad as this, atrocities like what happened to Miranda are inevitable. Whitney Brown of Amnesty International said, quote, "It is utterly improbable that Miranda was detained at random, given the role his partner has played in revealing the truth about the unlawful nature of NSA surveillance. He was detained under a law that violates any principle of fairness, and his detention shows how the law can be abused for petty, vindictive reasons. There is simply no basis for believing that Miranda presents any threat whatsoever to the UK government. The only possible intent behind this detention was to harass him and his partner, Guardian journalist Glenn Greenwald, for his role in analyzing the data released by Edward Snowden." Here's hoping that there are many more with the courage of Greenwald and his partner. Eternal vigilance is the price we must pay, and some, unfortunately, must pay it in greater amounts. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. And that was hardly the end of Britain's anti-free press attacks against The Guardian. The newspaper's editor, Alan Rusbridger, says that the British government threatened to take action against him if they did not destroy the documents leaked to them by Snowden or hand them over to British officials. A British official told Rusbridger, quote, "You've had your fun. Now we want the stuff back." Could he have shown any more contempt for the Fourth Estate? But it didn't end there. While British officials watched as computers containing the information were physically pulverized, one of them said, quote, "We can call off the black helicopters." This won't stop The Guardian from reporting on Snowden's documents, since most of the reports are originating from outside the UK. But it does show governments going to greater and greater lengths to stop members of the press from doing their jobs. It isn't just journalists who are showing courage during all of this. The web email service Lavabit, which Snowden used to invite human rights lawyers and activists to his press conference in Moscow, shut itself down earlier this month rather than comply with the government order to turn over their information. Lavabit's owner Ladar Levison is unable to give details since he's under a gag order prohibiting him from discussing it. In Levison's message to users following the shutdown, he wrote, quote, "I have been forced to make a difficult decision, to become complicit in crimes against the American people or to walk away from nearly 10 years of hard work by shutting down Lavabit. After significant soul-searching, I have decided to suspend operations. I wish that I could legally share with you the events that led to my decision. I cannot." I feel you deserve to know what's going on. The First Amendment is supposed to guarantee me the freedom to speak out in situations like this. Unfortunately, Congress has passed laws that say otherwise. As things currently stand, I cannot share my experiences over the last 6 weeks, even though I have twice made the appropriate requests. He also expressed hope for a favorable decision from the courts that would allow him to resurrect Lavabit. Now, Levinson is being threatened with criminal charges because federal prosecutors are saying that shutting down his business was a violation of federal law. According to the ACLU's Ben Wisner, quote, "Because the government has barred Lavabit from disclosing the nature of its demands, we still don't know what information the government is seeking or why it's seeking it. It's hard to have a debate over the reasonableness of the government's actions, or Lavabit's response for that matter, when we don't know what we're debating." So much for transparency. Levinson said that in the past he's complied with court orders targeted at specific users, and he never had a problem with that. It seems, then, that the order was more broad than that, perhaps even a request to snoop on all users of his service. Lavabit offered a pay service where emails would be securely encrypted, so the NSA's usual procedure of just sniffing the upstream cables wouldn't give them the content of the emails. He started up a legal defense fund, and so far more than $90,000 have come in donations. Best of luck to Levinson. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy.com. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 20% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address or establish your online business in a snap, all for 20% off. And you'll help this podcast too. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. On a more local level, this podcast has covered several times the efforts of cities to oppress the homeless to get them out of view so no one has to see them, so they can pretend to be doing a good job about the homeless problem. They outlaw everyday activities like sleeping, eating, and panhandling in public, and have even gone against charities and businesses that have fed the homeless and given them jobs that put them in the public eye. Add Philadelphia to the list. Mayor Michael Nutter banned the serving of food in private parks, saying that serving them indoors will raise standards for the homeless. Quote, "I believe that people, regardless of their station in life, should be able to actually sit down at a table to a meal inside, away from the heat and the cold, the rain and the snow, the vehicle exhaust, and all the other distractions of everyday city life." And you know what I think, Nutter? I believe that people, regardless of their station in life, should be able to eat wherever they feel like it. And if that means embarrassing your precious city government by putting the homeless right out in view of the public where everyone can see what a terrible job you're doing, then that's just too bad. And putting people in jail because the food that they give to the homeless doesn't meet your standards? That's a special kind of psycho right there. Nutter. I don't even have to make up an insulting name for him. My enemy's name actually is Nutter. Sometimes the universe is good to me. Not so much the homeless. Philadelphia is just one of some 30 cities that restrict this in some way. According to one homeless person, quote, "That makes me feel, you know, they don't care. They don't care about homeless. That's how I feel, and that hurts sometimes, believe me, that hurts." Meanwhile, the charities and groups that are providing these meals to the homeless are trying to find venues where they can serve them legally. Yeah, as if charities needed more expenses and difficulties. Similar laws in Las Vegas and Houston have been overturned due to public outcry. Here's hoping that the people of Philadelphia and all of these other cities follow suit. Homeless people need to be out in the open, where they can be seen and interact with regular people. Because they're regular people too, you know. You're just not gonna believe this next one. A woman identified only as HT was raped in 2009 when she was only 14. She became pregnant and then became a teen mother. It really is one of the biggest horrors someone can experience. And it wasn't much easier on her mother, who had to quit her job to help raise the baby. From this point on, things seemed to go as well as one can expect. Her rapist, Jaime Melendez, was arrested and convicted and sentenced to 16 years probation. But everything became turned on its head. Last June, Melendez, after 3 years of expressing no interest in the child, suddenly wanted visitation rights. Might have something to do with the fact that they're making him pay child support. He did say he'd stop seeking custody if he didn't have to pay child support. And the state of Massachusetts is actually supporting him. This rape victim has to allow her rapist to have visitation rights with her daughter. HT tried to get the sentencing judge to give her criminal restitution instead of child support to avoid this. She was denied. HT appealed the decision to the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court, but the court ruled, get this, that she lacked standing to sue. And the full court upheld this decision on appeal. Unbelievable. HT is now being forced into a legal relationship with her rapist. She actually shares parental rights with the man who raped her at age 14. She's trying again to get the order annulled. Best of luck to her. What are these politicians, bureaucrats, and judges thinking? Why should a rapist have any parental rights whatsoever? And understand, this isn't one of those cases where an act of love with someone on the lower side of an arbitrary age limit set by bureaucrats artificially makes it rape. This was forced, non-consensual rape. And that's what he was convicted of. Not statutory rape, but actual, forced, non-consensual rape. The very non-consensual nature of the act means that Melendez and those like him have forfeited whatever rights they might otherwise have had in that situation. What about HT, who's only now becoming an adult, whose life is forever altered by this? How do you think she feels being forced to have this relationship with her rapist? And, this keeps getting lost in all of this, what of her daughter? Can you imagine a child having to grow up calling her mother's rapist daddy? Folks, this is a no-brainer. There shouldn't be anything at all in the law that requires a rape victim to have to even go near her rapist, let alone have this kind of legal attachment. Legislators in Massachusetts are beginning to work to change the law in the light of this story. But what sort of sick, twisted, and perverse government does Massachusetts have that such a law is even needed? History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. And now it's time to spin right round, baby, right round, this week's biggest bogon emitter. Back in May, we covered the efforts by the North Carolina State Legislature to ban sales of electric cars manufactured by Tesla Motors because they don't use car dealers to sell them. Now, several other states have joined in, and there's an interesting pattern emerging. Tesla's Model S is getting unprecedented attention for both electric and standard gasoline-powered cars. It was the first electric car to win Motor Trend's Car of the Year. Consumer Reports gave it a higher rating than it's given any car in history, 99 out of 100, and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has rated it as the safest car ever. By all indications, the Model S is said to be an unprecedented success among fully electric cars. But there's a problem, and it has nothing to do with the car itself. You see, Tesla feels that the standard dealership model wouldn't work for their car, mostly because of people's preconceptions about electric cars. According to Tesla CEO Elon Musk, quote, "We actually train people to educate. We always wanted to be a really low-key kind of friendly environment, where we're not constantly trying to close deals. It takes them at least twice as much effort to sell someone an electric car and to educate them as to why an electric car is good. And so if we were to go through the traditional dealer path, the result would be a disaster." What's the matter with that? As we reported earlier, politicians don't like it. Texas has already banned sales of the Tesla, and there's anti-Tesla legislation being debated in North Carolina, Colorado, and Virginia. And why? Listen to the apologetics from Bill Walters, president of the Texas Automobile Dealers Association. Quote, "This happens all the time. Someone wants an exception to the franchise laws. If we made an exception for everybody that showed up in the legislature, before long, the integrity of the entire franchise system is in peril." Hey, you know what? Maybe that would be a good thing. This franchise system is nothing more than doublespeak for corporate fascism. If you want to do business in this state selling cars, you have to go through the people the mob bosses say you can. But you know what's interesting about this? In every case, Republicans are behind the legislation. Okay, Democrats are too, but at least Democrats don't pretend to be in favor of free markets and against government interference in business. Oh, wait, but they do claim to be for the environment. And the Tesla would improve the environment when charged with electricity generated from nuclear and other non-polluting power plants. Okay, you've convinced me. They're both horrible. Amazing how often that turns out to be the case. Why would I ever want to join the Democratic Party that sells out the environment every chance it gets whenever it's not to the benefit of their corporate cronies, while hypocritically accusing Republicans of doing the same? And above all, why would anyone join the Republican Party if they're for small government and the free market? When has the Republican Party ever done anything for the free market? Like Democrats, it's all just rhetoric to cover up their anti-freedom and anti-market legislation that benefits no one but their corporate cronies. And if recent events are anything to go by, they are not interested in changing this anytime in the foreseeable future. Which is why all of these state lawmakers from both parties just have to be this week's biggest bogey myth. And now it's time to denominate this week's
idiot extraordinaire.
Jaleesa Martin and her son's father went to family court in Cock County, Tennessee, because they had trouble agreeing on what their baby's last name should be. But the problem wasn't what the baby's last name was, it was what they had both agreed should be the baby's first name. Both the baby's parents agreed that he should be named Messiah. But Child Support Magistrate Lou Ann Ballou didn't like that. Despite the fact that the baby's first name was not in dispute in these court proceedings, she ordered the baby's name to be changed to Martin Deshaun McCullough. And why? She ruled, quote, "The word Messiah is a title." But wait a minute! Lots of names are titles. When I was in college, I knew a guy whose middle name was Lord. I once worked with a guy named Baron. Lots of people's names derive from titles. So what? So, she continued, quote, "It's a title that has only been earned by one person, and that one person is Jesus Christ." You know, I think there are a lot of Jewish people in this country who might take issue with that. Sorry, but you're supposed to make decisions based on the law, not your religion. Messiah actually means anointed one, and it's a title that has been given to priests and kings. Jesus is depicted in the Bible as one specific and special Messiah, not the only one. Today, the meaning of the word Messiah has been expanded to mean any visionary of a cause or movement. Her excuse is that she was doing it for the sake of the child. Quote, "It could put him at odds with a lot of people, and at this point he has no choice in what his name is." Wow. So would she say the same thing about children raised Jewish or atheist? Would she mandate people of other religions raise their children as Christians so it won't put them at odds with other people in society? I wonder what she would do if she had a Latino couple before them with a baby named Jesus, or the actor Emmanuel Lewis when he was a baby. Of course, this is what happens when you go to the government to solve your problems. If Messiah's parents had been able to work out his last name between themselves, or even an independent mediator, this would never have happened. According to the baby name wizard, 194 babies out of every million born in 2012 was named Messiah, and it's been trending upward exponentially since the late 1980s. Oh, what are religiously bigoted judges to do? Soon they'll be everywhere! This is not only completely outside of the controversy presented to the court, it's also a complete violation of the First Amendment. And it's just the whole general "what was she thinking" aspect of all of this that stymies the intellect. Martin is appealing the judge's decision, and it'll be heard by the county chancellor on September 17th. Best of luck to her. But whatever the result, the decision will come far too late to stop Lou Anne Ballou from being named this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this Like a Good Neighbor edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, here's a quote from Calvin Coolidge. I sometimes wish that people would put a little more emphasis upon the observance of the law than they do upon its enforcement. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.